Amen. Man, that was awesome. Good morning. Hope everybody's doing good this morning. Alan, you did a great job, buddy. You had one job that I just absolutely cannot stand, and that's announcements. And so I appreciate you sharing those announcements. I just handed some of those to him as he was coming in the door. So bless his heart, he got thrown into that. But I appreciate you, and I appreciate your prayer. Well, before I get started, I want to welcome everyone, not only those of you who are here, but those of you who are watching online. As Luke already made mention, 45,000 viewers have been watching online. That's awesome. Praise God for that. And I want to give a shout out to someone who's very special to my family and I. Her name is Rachel Baswell. She's a friend from Alabama. I just found out a couple of weeks ago that she's been watching the last couple of weeks online. So I want to say hello to Rachel and her family. She's going to kill me for that. But just want to say hello. And let me also say this. If you are worshiping with us online, please connect with us. Please let us know where you're watching from. That would be so encouraging to us. So we just appreciate you tuning in and being a part of our worship with us. I want to begin with a story about two ladies who were friends. They hadn't seen each other in quite some time, and they bumped into each other on the street. And one of the ladies asked the other, "Have you been doing?" And her friend said, "Oh, I've been doing great. I've been taking this first aid class." And her friend said, "Well, how was it?" And she says, "Absolutely amazing." She said, "I've just learned so much from this class." And her friend said, "Man, that's awesome." She said, "Have you had an opportunity to use anything that you've learned?" And her friend said, "Well, actually, the other day, I did get to use some of the things that I had learned." She said, I was walking down the street and I came upon this terrible car wreck. She said, two cars collided with each other. There was broken glass and blood everywhere. And she said, I started thinking about my first aid training. And she said, I bent over, I put my head between my knees. And she said, I did not pass out. Now, the reason I told you that story is to show you that quite often we're tempted to be self-serving when it comes to the things that we learn. And that's not just true of the things that we learn in the world, but I'm talking about spiritually as well. I think so oftentimes we're tempted to think that this life and even the church is all about us. It's all about me. And I think as a church, really, many times that's what we portray to those who maybe come and visit or those who are checking out our congregation. Because I think as churches, oftentimes we say things like, "Hey, we are here to meet all your needs. What is it that you want? What is it that you need? And we will build a program just for that." But the idea that we give people is this: we are here to serve you. And I think that's why this mentality of self-serving has become so huge within the body of Christ today. Very rarely do you hear a church say to potential members or those who are visiting, "We are here to teach you to serve." But really, that's what this is all about. And we don't want anyone to get confused about that. If you're here visiting with us today, or if you are a new Christian, listen, we want you to understand that our focus is not to meet all of your needs, but to put you in a place to meet someone else's needs. Because it's not about you and it's not about me, but rather it is all about God and reaching His world. Does everybody get that? Everybody with me? I'm not trying to be ugly this morning. We just need to understand why we're here. It's not about me and my needs and my wants and you serve me. We're here because we are saved. And in fact, write this down. We are saved to serve. Okay? Write that down and download that this morning. We are saved to serve. We were meant to be sent for His purposes on His missions. And we get an idea of what that looks like in Mark chapter 1, verses 16 through 18. Notice what Jesus calls His disciples to, and listen to me. This is the same thing that He calls us as Christians to. Okay? As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, He saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come follow me," Jesus says, "and I will watch, church. And I will make you fishers of men." And at once they left their nets and they followed Him. Okay, so let's stop right there. And I want you to notice the disciples had seen a vision of a cause that was more important than anything they had given their lives to up until this point. And so they dropped everything. This was their livelihood, fishing. But they dropped their nets, they dropped everything, and followed Jesus to learn a higher calling, to learn how they could become fishers of men, which leads us to our next secret in fishing. We must learn to be fishers of men. We must learn to catch fish. Look back at the text, and again, notice what Jesus says, "I will what? I will make you." In other words, I will teach you, I will train you. One translation puts it like this, "I will show you how to fish for people." Because you look at Peter and Andrew, fishing was their occupation. It was also their preoccupation. In other words, when they weren't fishing, they were thinking about fishing. Are you with me? In other words, they were consumed with fishing. But then Jesus shows up and He says, "Listen, guys, I want you to stop minding your own business and I want you to start minding My business." Because you see, here's the deal. The most important business in the world is the people business. The most important business in the world is leading people to Jesus. And yet, here's what Bill Bright says in his book, The Coming Revival. He says, less than 2% of all Christians regularly share their faith. Less than 2%. And yet, this is the most important business in the world, is leading people to Jesus. That's what we've been called to. I heard about a missionary who went to China, and I thought this story was great because so oftentimes, it's very easy for us to come up with all kinds of excuses why we may not be sharing Jesus with others. But he encounters this new Christian over in China, and the missionary asks him, "How long have you been a Christian?" And this new Christian says, "Well, only about 3 months." And the missionary says, "Man, that is awesome." And then he goes on to ask him, he says, "How many people have you led to Jesus?" And the guy says, "Well, none." He says, I'm a new Christian and I'm still learning." And so this is what the missionary asked him. He says, "When you light a candle, does it wait till it's halfway burned up before it gives off light?" And the new Christian said, "Well, of course not. It starts giving off light right away." And so the missionary said, "So you let your light shine right away." Listen to me this morning. Right now, start learning to fish for men. Now, don't misunderstand me this morning. Jesus is not asking you to change your occupation. What Jesus is asking you to do is to change your purpose and your mission for life. And that is to lead other people to Jesus. And let me tell you something, guys. If business is not good, I am telling you, within a few years, this building will be empty. I'm telling you. Because most of you know, we're all getting older. In fact, we're kind of an older congregation. And if we're not bringing new people in, guess what? We're dying off in the graveyard or the cemetery's moving into the church. Are you with me? We got to get serious about business, God's business, which is reaching out and leading people to Jesus. And we've got to be very intentional about that. There are some things that we've got to learn. I want to share three things with you that's important for us to learn if we're going to lead people to Jesus. Here's number one. We must be able to explain God's offer in Jesus. Here's the deal. Most people have some sort of information about God. They probably have some information about Jesus, but they don't know the whole story. In fact, I would say that most people that you encounter out here in the world, they have no clue about the difference between the Christian faith and all these other world religions. Because I've talked to people, and one of the things that I hear over and over and over again is all religions are basically the same. They teach you how to be good, and if you are good enough, then God will let you into heaven. Listen, there's a big difference that we need to talk about. And we need to be able to explain this as Christians. It's kind of like the Christian who was looking for a chance to witness to his friend who was Muslim. And he noticed one day that his friend who was Muslim was washing his hands and he was washing his face before he prayed. And so he simply asked his Muslim friend, he said, "Why didn't you wash your heart?" And he said, "Well, that's absurd. No one can wash their heart." To which his Christian friend said, "That's exactly why we need Jesus." You see, all world religions can do is teach us to clean, to wash the outside, but that's not where the real problem is it? It's the heart. I mean, you get into Matthew, and as you get into chapter 5 and chapter 6 and chapter 7, as Jesus is talking about this, well, really, he's going through the sermon there on that mountain, and basically what he's talking about in that sermon is the heart. It's the heart. And so, listen, I'm not asking you this morning to be able to explain all the mysteries of the Bible. Understand that for some of you, you are new Christians and you do have a lot to learn. We all do. What I'm asking of every disciple of Jesus here is to learn how to explain the offer of what God is doing in Jesus to fix the problem on the inside. And so let me share with you two scriptures that I want to encourage you not only to take down, but I want to encourage you to memorize. Very simple. The first one is Romans chapter 3, verse 23, where it says, "All have what, church? All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." How many of you think you could learn that verse? It's pretty simple, right? Let's just say it together. Try not to even look at the screen, okay? Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says what? "All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." There you go. You've got it. And that's a very important verse because what that verse shows us is the problem is sin. And so the first thing we must do in order to explain what God is doing is we've got to talk about sin. And you know, the Bible is full of all the different types of sin. For example, the Bible talks about lying. How many of you have ever told a lie before? Right, those of you who are not raising your hand, you just told a lie. Right, so you might as well just check that one off the list. We've all told a lie. Now, let me ask you this. How many lies do you have to tell to be a liar? Just one. The Bible also talks about how stealing is a sin. You ever stolen money? You ever stolen something at a grocery store? What about lust? The Bible talks about lust. Jesus even says, you know what? If you look at another person and you lust after them, you have committed adultery in your heart. Here's the point. We have all sinned. In fact, John says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 8, if we claim that we have no sin, we are only what, church? We're only fooling ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And so that's the realization that we all have to come to. We have all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. Now, it gets worse. Here's the second verse I want you to learn. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. The first one was Romans 3, verse 23. The second was just three chapters over. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. And it says, for the wages of sin is what, church? Is death. Let's say that together. Romans 6, 23. For the wages or the price of sin is what? Is death. And what he's referring to there is a spiritual death. It's a separation from God. Isaiah chapter 59 verse 2. But your sins have separated you from your God. And so all of us have sinned. And the price or the wage for that is spiritual death, separation from God. And here's the deal. We can't do enough good things. We can't wash our hands enough to fix the fact that we are sinners before a holy God. But here's the good news. Going back to Romans 6:23, let's finish the verse. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is what, church? Eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. You see, what we can never be good enough to earn, God wants to give us through Jesus. Again, I'm not asking you to explain all the mysteries of the Bible. I'm not asking you to explain the Trinity. I'm not asking you to explain how God can be past, present, and future. I'm not asking you to be able to explain all those things. What I'm asking this morning is for you to be able to tell someone the difference between the Christian faith and all other religions of the world. Because every other religion says, listen, if you're good enough, if you just do enough, you get to be with God. But that's not what God says in His Word. In fact, Romans chapter 3, verse 10, this would be another great passage to memorize. Same book, Romans chapter 3, just a few verses back. Notice what he says. There is what, church? There is no one righteous, not even one. And so again, we can't be good enough. But Jesus was. You see, that's the message that we carry. He was good enough, and if we will come to Him through Him, we can be saved. And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 20 through 21, here God is giving us our call as Christians. He's showing us our purpose and our mission once we have been saved. He says, so we are Christ's ambassadors now. God is making His appeal through who, church? Through us. That's why we're here, is to make an appeal on behalf of God. And here's the appeal. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who what, church? Who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God through Christ. That's what we've got to be able to explain. Is that we are made right through Jesus. Through His sacrifice on the cross, He paid for our sin. And through him, we can be forgiven of every sin we have ever committed. And we need to be able to share that message. That's good news for people. Think about the weight that takes off of people. Because if we're constantly in our mind worrying about doing enough and being good enough, oh man, we know that can't happen, right? But when we say it's all on Jesus, Jesus took our sin, Jesus paid our price, man, we can breathe again. It's good news. We just got to learn to be able to explain it. Also, we've got to be aware of our own fishing style. And this is one of my favorite things to talk about. God has not called all of us to fish the exact same way. If I asked you this morning what the word evangelist means to you, what would you say? As I mentioned that word evangelist, what do you picture in your mind? Some of you are probably thinking about a preacher, maybe like me, who is standing behind a pulpit like this, you know, preaching and teaching from God's Word. But what I want you to understand is that you don't have to be a preacher to be an evangelist, to be a fisher of men, because God has all different kinds of way that fit your personality and fit your style to lead people to Jesus. And we see this throughout God's Word. For example, you have Paul's intellectual approach. You see, Paul was this scholarly, very educated man. And in Acts chapter 17, he is standing before all these philosophers in Athens, all these highly intelligent people. And this is what he says to them, "For I was walking along and I saw many altars." In Athens, they believe in many gods, not just one God. And he said, "I noticed all these altars, and on one of them, you had the inscription on it, 'To an unknown God.'" And the reason they had that altar to an unknown God was just in case they missed a God that they didn't know about. And so Paul says, "You've been worshiping him without knowing who he is, and I now wish to tell you about him." Listen, every generation needs people like Paul who can explain the Christian faith to the intellectual skeptics of our day. Because there are always going to be people who say, "There is no God. Everyone knows about evolution." Or today you hear people say, "Well, you know, the Bible is not really God's Word. I mean, it's full of all kinds of mistakes. And, you know, I just can't believe that Jesus is God's Son. Maybe a good person, but he wasn't actually God's Son. And I just can't believe in this whole resurrection idea." And so we need people who can talk about those important questions. And God always raises up people within the church who can do that. Because you see, we don't just believe blindly. Yes, we believe in faith, but we don't just believe blindly. God has given us great evidence to talk about every one of those questions to the skeptics of our age, and that may be you. But here's another approach that we see in God's Word, the Levi approach, and I love this. Levi was a tax collector. And he would probably not be what we would call a church-going guy, okay? But then he encounters Jesus, and well, watch what happens. After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. "Follow me," Jesus said to him, and Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of who, church? Tax collectors, some of your translations may say sinners, and others were eating with him. Notice what Levi did. Levi said, "Look, I'm not really the intellectual, scholarly type, but I can throw a party. I love having get-togethers." And so he throws this get-together at his house, a banquet, a party, if you will, and he invites his non-believing friends, his tax collector friends, But then he also invites his believing friends. Is that a great way to fish for men? Absolutely. People have called me up and Julie up at times said, "Hey, listen, we're having something over at our house and we've got some of our friends who really aren't believers that are coming over. Would you guys come over and just be there with us and you know, maybe just help us to share Jesus with them?" It's like, yeah, absolutely. It's a great way to lead people to Jesus. But then here's another approach that we see in God's Word, the Samaritan woman approach. Remember, you have this Samaritan woman who encounters Jesus at the well, and what does she do? Man, she goes running into the village, and she says in verse 29, "Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" In other words, she runs into town, and she just invites people to come to Jesus. I've shared this with you before. George Barna, who does all of this religious research, says that there are some 45 million people who say they would come to church next week if someone would just invite them. If someone would just say, "Come." Richard Green and I, we have an opportunity to spend some time each week together, and we'll go get some coffee. And this is one of the things I love about Richard. This is his style. We'll walk up to the counter, and before you know it, Richard has given them a church card, and he says, "Hey, come to Central. We would love to have you." And then he continues. He's like, "Listen, if you decide you want to come, call me on the phone. I'll meet you in the parking lot and we'll walk in together." Jane, did Richard and Dottie invite you here? Yeah. How many of us can just say, "Come. Come be a part of our family. Come to worship with us." That's a great way for someone to hear the good news about Jesus. I think about Jamie Young. You guys remember at the beginning of the year, Jamie invites one of her neighbors, Rebecca Daniels, who has recently passed away. And this shows you the seriousness of what we're doing. But Rebecca Daniels comes and she like joins our small group. Jamie invites her to go to our small group. And before everything's over, she's crying and she's ready to give her life to Christ. All through an invitation. Then of course we have the Dorcas or Tabitha approach. Acts chapter 9, verse 36. I love this. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha who was always doing what, church? Who was always doing good and helping the poor. And for some of you, man, that's one of your greatest fishing tools. It really is. You speak more, you witness more with your deeds than you do your tongue. And that opens up opportunities for you. And that is awesome. I'll never forget, several years ago, Julie and I had some neighbors who were moving in next door, so we helped them move in, and then they decided to put up a fence in their backyard, so I went, you know, to the backyard where he's at, putting up the fence, offered to help him put it up, and man, he looks at me and he says, "Who are you and where do you go to church?" And we ended up baptizing him and his wife into Christ. Some of you, that's your gift. You give cups of cold water to people in the name of Jesus, and in doing so, you open the door for living water to be poured into their hearts. And then, of course, you have the blind man approach, and I love this one. You remember Jesus heals this blind man, and the blind man, he goes and he shows himself to the Pharisees. And they began to barrage him with all these questions. "Who healed you? Do you believe he's the Messiah? Don't you know that he's a sinner?" And I love the way he responds. "Whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. But one thing I do know, I was blind and now I see." Listen, Jesus is on trial in the world and we're the witnesses. And a witness doesn't have to be able to answer every question under the sun. A witness just has to say, this is what I saw. This is what I know. This is what He's done for me. I think about the man in Luke chapter 8 who had demons cast out of him by Jesus. And he was so grateful to Jesus that he says, I want to follow you. And Jesus says, well, I've got a better idea. Look at verse 39. Return home and tell how much God has done for you. So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. How many of you can do that? How many of you can say, man, this is who I used to be. And this is who I am now because of Jesus. Let me tell you, at one time I was an alcoholic or I was a drug addict. My marriage was falling apart. I was a terrible parent. But now that I've come to Jesus, my life has been changed. And my marriage is absolutely wonderful. And I've become a better parent. And I'm a better co-worker. I don't lose my temper like I used to. How many of us can tell others what Jesus has done for us? That's a great way to be a fisher of men. And I want to throw this in as well, the parent approach. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 5 through 9, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving you today. Repeat them again and what, church? And again to who? To your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you're on the road and when you're going to bed and when you're getting up. Tie them on your hands. Wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on your doorposts of your house and on your gates. I know so oftentimes, parents, when we think about evangelism, we think about people out there. And what I'm saying to you is, let's not forget our kids. We want to make sure that we raise up a generation who knows Jesus. That's one of our greatest responsibilities, is teaching our children about Jesus. To love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And listen, don't we have opportunities to share this with our kids? Constantly. I mean, it's like there are opportunities that arise with our kids over and over and over again. And some of you may be thinking, well, you don't understand. I have no influence over my kids. No, I'm here to tell you that you do. In fact, you are the greatest influence in your child's life. It's so funny how even though Julie and I, we say at times we are nothing like our parents, Julie will look at me and she'll say, you are just like your mom or you are just like your dad. And I'll say the exact same thing to her. And so through our parenting, through our love of the Lord, guess what? We have an opportunity, not just out there, but right there in our home to share Jesus. To tell our kids how much we love Jesus. To show our kids how to serve the Lord and live for Him. And let me tell you something. Number three, there are going to be plenty of opportunities. And we've got to be alert to those opportunities to give our personal testimony, whether it's to our kids, our co-workers, our neighbors. I think about Paul three different times in the book of Acts. Basically, all Paul does is he says, let me tell you my story. Let me tell you who I used to be, and let me tell you where I am now. Those opportunities arise. In fact, Colossians chapter 4, verse 5, be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. That's so important. I was yesterday at a tournament of one of our neighbors who is a professional paintballer. But he's not just a professional paintballer and neighbor. He is a brother in Christ. And after it was over, we met, and I was like, man, you did so good. Your team is absolutely amazing. And the very first thing he said to me was this. He says, thank you so much. He said, but please pray that when I'm out there, I will be a light for Christ. Because he realizes that even playing paintball, he's surrounded by opportunities to be a light for Jesus. Make the most of every opportunity, and those opportunities will come. For example, Lorraine, who was baptized just a couple of weeks ago. Really a crazy story, but it shows you the opportunities that God gives us. Julie and I, we were talking to some of our neighbors, and Porter, Lorraine's dog, came running out of her house. She couldn't get him on a leash. And so I grabbed Julie. I said, we've got to go help her catch this dog. And so Julie and I go, and man, we're running all over the place. She's running all over the place trying to catch her dog. Finally, Julie is the one who catches Porter and takes Porter to Lorraine. And Julie begins to talk to her about her spiritual life. And then, of course, you see where Lorraine is now. She gives her life to Christ. Chasing down a dog. Who would have ever thought? But God will present those opportunities if we'll be alert to those opportunities. In the 1980s, there was a guy by the name of Earl Hershiser. Some of you remember him. He was a pitcher for the Dodgers, helped lead his team to the World Series. And after the World Series was over, he was asked to be on the Johnny Carson show. Now, some of you remember the Johnny Carson show. I do, which tells my age. But he goes on the Johnny Carson show, and Johnny Carson just asked him in front of everybody, listen, when the pressure is on and every pitch counts, he says, how do you remain so calm? And Hershiser says, very simple, he says, I began to sing songs to myself. And Johnny Carson, who was intrigued, said, really? He said, well, would you sing us one of those songs? And Hershiser says, sure. And right there on national television, this is what Earl Hershiser sang. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Isn't that awesome? And that touched Johnny Carson so much that when he did his 27th anniversary clip of, you know, some of the special episodes, at the very end was that clip of Earl Hershiser singing that song. God gives us opportunities. And we all have our own unique way of reaching people during those opportunities. Now, don't misunderstand me. The offer that God is making in Jesus is the same for everybody, but you've got your own unique way of reaching people with that offer. And so what I'm challenging all of us to do is to figure out our fishing style. To be intentional about how we can lead people to Jesus. Whether it's inviting people into our home, or whether it's inviting people to services or to our small group. Whatever the case may be intentional about thinking, man, how can I reach people? What is my greatest gift? And connecting and reaching people for Jesus. Let's go to God in prayer. God, we thank you so much for the way you've been working here at Central. Father, we just pray that you'll continue to work, continue to use us, Father. Help us not to sit back and look for ways to be served, but look for ways to where we can serve and truly carry out your mission of reaching the lost. Father, help us to keep our focus on that. I think so oftentimes as Christians, we get so distracted on so many other things. But Father, that is the main thing. And so, God, we're just calling out to you today. We're asking you to help us to stay focused and to make that our number one priority in our life. Because, Father, we realize that hell is real and real people go there, and we don't want that. And so help us to lead people to you. God, bless us with more opportunities. I know that 4,500 people actually watched, or 45,000 people. I can't remember what the number was, but it's a large number, Father, people who are watching online. And we know that you're going to present more opportunities for us, but help us, God. Give us the wisdom to know how we can tap into those opportunities and truly lead people to you. We thank you for Jesus. And Father, as we partake of the Lord's Supper today, help us to stay focused on the sacrifice that was made on our behalf. And Father, we just pray this prayer in the power of Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, if you would like to know more about Jesus, whether you're here or whether you're watching online, please reach out to us. Again, I want to encourage you to connect with us online. If you're watching, let us know where you're watching from. We would love to connect with you. Right now, we are going to have a song, then we're going to have a scripture, and we're going to take the Lord's Supper together. If there's someone here this morning who needs prayers, I'd love to meet with you afterward. I'd love to pray with you. Our elders would love to pray with you as well.